Happy Halloween. Halloween. Welcome to day 16. Really?
More.
Anyways.
I'm laughing because the blunt is evil.
It is green. Looks like a witch's finger. You don't want to smoke a finger?
For real. Try to smoke a finger with the boys.
Oh my god, the fattest, ugliest fucking fly got in here because the dog had to go out at the worst time. Now it's not gonna go away.
I'm feeling this hemp roll. Shout out whatever company gave us this shit.
Shit, you had the package. Anyways, we're gonna jump into, black and white horror films. So for our article, we're going to be reading the 30 best classic black and white horror movies from vulture.com in case you want to pull that up and look at it yourself.
Shit's not lit.
Fucking weed inhaling. Ew.
Hold on, let me see.
Yeah, I do not like that weed.
Just a little lighter. It's not burning right. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, that weed ain't right because the ash is black. It's got hella crap in it. Nope, it's the fucking weed.
Y'all go ahead and pull up your little article. 30 great black and white horror movies worth revisiting.
Give me. The first one we have is The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
You're not gonna hit this blunt anymore?
No, I'm not.
I'm getting faded.
Number two is Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror. Number three is The Man Who Laughs. Number four is Universal Classic Monsters. So, you know, The Wolfman, The Mummy, Dracula, Frankenstein, The Invisible Man, Creature from the Black Lagoon, you know, things along those lines. Next we have Freaks from 1932. And then next we have Murders in the Zoo, which is 1933. I think I did hear something about this a while back. Then we're starting to get into something a little more modern. You know, where posters started coming out with the colorful illustrations and such. So we have Cat People, 1942. Apparently, one of the most iconic scenes from this film is the bus scene, and it is a low-budget horror success, I guess, is what they're saying about it.
Okay.
Next, we have The Seventh Victim from 1943.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the first movies to treat women in horror as fully fledged people with their own thoughts and desires, allowing them full agency.
Wow.
The women are strong-willed, mouthy, and uncharacteristically bold in this pulp staple.
Okay.
Next we have The Uninvited. 1944.
That's me.
Yeah, you was uninvited.
Can I see a lighter in this biatch?
Can I take a bong hit in this biatch?
Yeah, give me the list. You don't need to take the list.
Yep. So the last one I'm going to read is Dead of Night, which was 1945. Apparently the film is a psychological creep fest and delivers what is arguably the most... the best work of director Charles Crichton? hope I said that right.
Right.
Whatever.
Picture of Dorian Gray. Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein, 1948. Them, 1954.
Why are you reading it like they're talking?
1955, see? Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1956. House on a Haunted Hill, 1959. Eyes Without a Face, 1960. Black Sunday, 1960. Psycho, 1960.
I guess well, everyone knows Psycho, I think. Sorry. Did the fog roll in?
You're the psycho. I realized it.
I am not.
After all this time.
Wow. Really? It's like that?
It's because you gave me this secondhand.
Oh my god. Shush. Was it that serious?
It went down my throat.
I'm sorry, babe.
Innocence. The Innocence. That's Maddie.
The Innocence.
1961.
Ain't nothing innocent here.
Carnival of Souls, 1962.
I've heard of that.
Dementia 13, 1963. Straitjacket, 1964. Repulsion, 1965. Here you go.
You want me to keep reading?
Keep reading.
Man, how come I gotta keep reading?
Because I gotta relight this joint.
Alright. Fine. I had something in my eye. Hour of the Wolf, 1968. I'm assuming this is when they tried to maybe add certain effects to movies, probably around this time. I could be wrong. Apparently, there is a dinner scene that is downright remarkable, proving that what many believe is one of Bergman's lesser works is perhaps one of his most interesting. Apparently, this is available on YouTube.
Wow.
So, it didn't say you had to buy it. It just said available on YouTube. So, if you guys are interested, you could actually watch this one.
And you can also watch Chucky, the new series on YouTube.
Just the first episode. It's free. I think for the rest you have to have a subscription or something.
Yeah.
Or just watch it on Sci-Fi. Yeah. But yeah, the first episode is free. So they're giving us a chance to basically check it out and see if, you know, we want to continue watching the series. So they give everyone a chance. Like, you know, you want to check it out, see if you like it or not. Because, you know, when it comes to, like, a new TV show or a new series, the pilot episode is the one that has the most impact, you know? Because it really determines if someone's going to continue watching it or not. You know what I'm saying?
After the pilot, yeah.
Yeah, seriously. So, that's why they put out the episode for free, to give everyone a chance. And then it's like you can go from there to see if you want to watch it or not.
Exactly.
I always end up closing your screen out, like, while I'm trying to do this.
Oh, well, you got it open.
Sometimes it just takes a couple of tries, but I get it open. Next it says, Night of the Living Dead, 1968. So, I have seen this one. It used to scare the crap out of me when I was a kid, but, you know, it was, like, fun, scary, you know? I don't really remember having any nightmares or anything, or a lot of nightmares about this movie, but, you know, it was just kind of fun to watch, because, you know, even though it was an older movie, it just really gives you a good scare from time to time. And, you know, that's always fun. But it says right here. Sorry. I think I'm starting to crash.
From the coffee crash.
Yeah. Every time I get a large coffee, I always have, like, a really, really hard crash later. And it's like, oh, I shouldn't have had that much coffee. I should have just gotten a regular-sized drink. I don't know why I got a large. Because it's like, I can't go take a nap. I have things to do. Anyways, sorry. It says, George A. Romero is king of the zombies and the father of contemporary horror cinema. Full stop. This low-budget independent film from Pittsburgh completely revolutionized the horror genre and created a monster that has reigned supreme for the last 50 years. Alright. Before Romero, horror films were often set in faraway lands of isolation, but he brought horror to the suburbs where families were only a monster outbreak away from meeting their demise. While he claimed until death that the casting of Duane Jones, an African-American, as the lead role was purely based on his acting talent, Romero's decision to present a black protagonist is still one of the most radical moves in horror history. This movie is also available on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So he was the first to cast a male protagonist that was African-American in a horror film. Hmm. Because his acting talents were purely just that good. He did not care about the backlash that he was getting because of it. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, he didn't care about the bloodbath, because I was thinking of the zombies.
I'm thinking he didn't care about the black.
No. I was going to say the bloodbath, because I was thinking about how, like, gory the movie actually was. Mm-hmm. Like, for a black and white movie about zombies back then, like, what was the year? The year for the movie was 1968. Yeah, like, they didn't use a lot of, like, blood and stuff, really. So, like, but, of course, because it's a zombie film, like, they did use a lot more. And there was a lot more, like, gore and, like, guts and, you know, and... It just, it looked pretty realistic for its time, because I remember watching it when I was younger, and oh my gosh, like, I used to get really scared, because there's, like, this one scene where, like, this person's, like, outside, and, like, he just, I can't remember if it's a guy or a girl, it's this person, and they get, like, ambushed by, like, all these zombies. They kind of just gang up on him and, like, just completely rip this person to shreds, and that was, like, the first time I've, like, actually ever seen something like that, like... Oh, and I was, like, terrified, but, like, also kind of just, like, in awe of just how great the movie, like, was, like, made. I don't know, like, it was pretty captivating. It's a good movie. I shouldn't have been watching it, but, you know, when you're at your dad's house for the weekend sometimes, there are no rules. My dad was a little more laid back with the films that we could watch over there. So sometimes I was watching things that I probably shouldn't have watched. It's not like they were showing, like, anything super crazy, but, like, you know, just the fact that it was a zombie movie, even though it was in black and white and more old fashioned, we were still probably too young to be watching it, me and my brother. But, like, yeah, we grew up loving the movie. Like... Yeah, it was a staple of our childhood, actually. But yeah, I do remember how gory it was, and that's why I was saying. I guess he didn't care about the bloodbath, that, like, the reaction. But yeah, the backlash. He didn't care about the backlash that he was going to get, or probably would get, from casting, you know, this, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, Duane Jones, because that's how it's spelled, as a lead role, because he was, like, the lead role besides the female character. He was, like, the male lead role. And then right here, the next movie, we have Eraserhead from 1977. So we're in the 70s now. It says,
Eraserhead?
Yeah, it says this movie has excessive gore, I guess. Did something get in my drink?
Ash.
Little ash won't kill you. The film is available on Filmstruck. It has some dark humor, and it's gory, so, you know, just take that with caution if you are interested. Next, we have A Field in England, which was actually a 2013 film, but it's in black and white, so. Alright. It's available on Amazon, if anyone's wondering. Next is A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, 2014. I had no idea this was a black and white film. It's available on Amazon. I have to watch that.
You want another blanket?
Yes, please. Today we're puffing on sugar tarts from Glasshouse Farms. I felt like it was appropriate for, you know, the Halloween vibes, you know, sugar tarts. Like, it made me think of the Sweet Tarts candies. So, yeah.
Right.
It's similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna drink this water anyway. I'm thirsty. Or should we just get new water?
I was gonna try to get a sewer water.
Okay, because my mouth's really dry.
Too high to move right now. My too high to move or speak. I was just listening to you.
Oh, well, I'm gonna have to stop talking because my mouth's really dry.
Holy fuck.
Anyways, I'm just gonna say. Oh, this is the last one. Okay, I could get through this. I do need water though, hurry. We have The Eyes of My Mother, which is a 2016 film. It's available on Amazon. Apparently, it is presented as an art film, but don't be fooled. It's a truly grotesque and emotionally jarring slice of cinema. Wow. All right.
You know who I could imagine? I guess,
what?
Listening to our podcast.
Who?
Brian Griffin.
Probably. But I guess we'll just leave that there. And, damn, you, like, broke down my weed already. So, yeah.
One of the most awesome moments.
Hey! Well, that's our first segment, so we'll take a pause. Alright, tell them what it is.
16 serial killers' last meals on death row.
So before we start reading that, we're going to be rating serial killers' last meals. I thought that would be fun to do.
It's kind of dark, but okay.
No, it's not.
Alright. So
they literally do that on YouTube. It's the food net.
It's the literal sense of it.
I know, but, like, there's this, like, YouTube channel, and they do, like, a bunch of, like, try not to eat challenges, or, like, rate last meals of people that did this, or whatever, you know? They've done all types of different, you know, you've seen me watch them, right? Yeah. So when I watched that video, because they've done it a couple of times from different types of killers, I guess. They've done it a couple of times. And I was like, you know what? Let's not do that all the time, but, you know, maybe let's just do it because it's 31 days of Halloween, and unfortunately some things are a little dark around Halloween, but, like, you know, it's also just, like, a curiosity thing, like, what the fuck did some of these people eat before they died, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it would be interesting and kind of fun in, like, I guess a dark kind of way to rate them. So let's do it.
Number one, perhaps the most depressing name on the list is 23-year-old Joe Arity, who was mentally disabled with an IQ in the 40s and falsely accused and convicted of the rape and murder of a 15-year-old schoolgirl. He was executed via the gas chamber in 1939, and then he was posthumously pardoned 72 years after his death in 2011. His last meal requested was ice cream.
Well, you can't go wrong with ice cream.
That's a 10, bro.
But it's a little plain, so...
Y'all are bang. I mean...
I'll give it an 8.
You could have got, like, some Cold Stone.
Like, if it was me, I probably would have gotten, like, you know, Chipotle or something as my last meal.
Order everything from Chipotle.
It'll take me a long time to finish that.
Yeah, but after that, you gotta go, buddy. You know, and this is all you gotta do to get what you want out
of
life.
If it were me, I would have requested 2 large bags of the chips and then 4 large quesos, because you need, like, 2 for each bag. Okay? Because I love their queso, too. I'm obsessed with it. And then I would get, like, maybe 2 chicken fucking burrito bowls, you know, with my corn salsa and my sour cream. Gosh, it's so good.
All right, number 2.
That's what I would have done.
Danny Rowland.
And then, like, a large Cherry Coke and a large Sprite. And 2 waters.
The Gainesville Ripper was a serial killer. Responsible for the deaths.
I remember hearing about that one.
He was responsible for the deaths of 5 students in Florida in the early 1990s. Before being executed in 2006 by lethal injection, Rowling was served lobster tail, butterfly shrimp, baked potato, strawberry cheesecake, and sweet tea.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds fucking delicious,
he
bro.
He had a whole meal.
He said it was your last meal, man, so make it count, you know, so, shit, I mean, it happened, Captain.
I'll give it a 10.
That's crazy.
Minus the,
yeah. I'll give it an 8, but, pretty, I don't know. That's,
minus
that's
the
pretty impressive, though.
Minus the fucking tea, because I don't like tea.
Eileen Wuornos.
I know who that is.
After murdering 7 men as a prostitute between 1989 and 1990, by shooting them, Eileen was executed via lethal injection in 2002. Before her execution, Wuornos declined to have a special last meal and opted for a burger and snacks from the prison canteen instead. Later, she also had a cup of coffee. I'm thinking, like, I would have been like, go to the corner store, give me some scratchers, some black and milds, some swishers, some weed.
Top shelf weed. Like some
steezy. A bottle.
You gotta smoke the whole
egg.
Some
Cheetos. Hot Cheetos. Some Little Debbie cakes. Gotta have the Shasta Twist.
I wonder if they would allow that. Like, would they allow someone to smoke weed before they go?
Drink some liquor, just go crazy. Is that one good ass time? Man. My bro, you forgot my Nutter Butter.
What if someone,
and my Oreos.
What if someone was like, okay, go to 7-Eleven. Get a pizza and the taquitos.
Get a pizza. Then you gotta crush the taquitos on the pizza.
Get some nacho cheese and some chili.
And then dunk the hot wings in there. Yeah. Then you pour the slushy on top of the hot wings.
Okay, that's going too far. That's like, that's,
you get
like
a microwave burrito and stuff it in.
That's
there
like
too.
Making, like, you know, some like honey barbecue wings and then like glazing them and like, you know, like some Kool-Aid glazed, you know, with the Kool-Aid
people
powder.
People have done that.
Yeah, and it's not good.
Have you tried it?
I heard it's terrible. Like, literally, I've read the reviews of people that have done it and they're like, okay, it might have looked good, it might have smelled alright, but the taste, no. And that's with the chicken, like, being cooked all the way and everything. But it's like, it's because Kool-Aid doesn't, it's not made to
go on
chicken. It might pair well with whatever dinner that you're eating. or your sandwich, or whatever the fuck you're having it with, cookies, you know, whatever. Because, you know, people have Kool-Aid with different shit.
This is making me hungry. This podcast never fails to make me hungry.
Sorry, but it just doesn't pair on top of chicken. Like, that's where I draw the line. I don't... And I would never dare even try it, because it's like, I know it's going to taste bad. Pretty positive it's going to taste bad. No, thank you.
Number 4, Robert Alton Harris. Before being executed via the gas chamber for the 1978 kidnap and murder of 2 teenage boys, Harris asked for his last meal. He asked for a 21-piece bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, 2 large Domino pizzas, no anchovies, a bag of jelly beans, 6-pack of Pepsi, and a pack of Camel cigarettes. Instead of Domino's, he was given Tombstone pizzas, as per Vernell Crittenden's, a prison guard who oversaw death row orders. Damn, son, so you ain't even get the Domino's pizza, bro. It's fucked up. It's messed up.
If you gonna get pizza, man, you better get Papa John's with garlic butter.
That was just the family bucket, but they ain't giving the family bucket meal and a bag of jelly beans and a 6-pack of Pepsi.
That's...
And they got the cigs, so they will go to the corner store for you.
Man, if they're going to pick up some smokes, you might as well have them get everything else.
Yep, a bottle, candy.
Soda. Maybe an icy or a slushy, whatever they call it. It depends on the corner store.
Don't give him...
They all got different names.
Give him a 6, because he could have milked more out of it. But at least you got the smoke.
Maybe he just didn't see the point in milking more out of it.
Probably not.
A lot of them probably just...
They're just like, whatever, I'm gonna die.
I mean, they're getting what they're enjoying, but it's like, they're not gonna overindulge, and it's probably just because it's like, why? What's the point? There is a point, but they probably just don't see the point in overindulging.
Man, my last meal will last like 2 or 3 days. Like, wait.
They're not even going to give you that. They'll just come shoot you in your cell and cover that up.
Inject your ass. He passed away. Well, we don't know how.
He wasn't done with his meal. I know. That's crazy, right?
That's crazy. It was probably all that sugar and all that.
He was like in the middle of eating it. He just fell over. I don't know what happened. You know, just walking by and... Man, you know?
You know what sounds good? Some Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Would that be your last meal?
Fuck no.
A big-ass bowl with some non-dairy milk, right? Because, you know, you can't have dairy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you got to get the good kind of milk that's not dairy milk.
Yeah, I'll drink almond milk, but I think oat milk is the new wave.
Is oat milk better?
I think it might be better.
Okay, so oat milk with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's going to be...
That sounds pretty smooth.
Sounds hella good.
Pretty nice and sweet.
Okay, so Thomas Grosso. Grosso.
Would you have water on the side, though? To wash it down?
No. Just the milk.
You're going to be a little thirsty, though, because, you know, milk can kind of dehydrate you a bit. You know, you might want, like, at least a little cup of water just to cleanse your palate afterwards. Plus, Cinnamon Toast Crunch be cutting your mouth up sometimes.
Man, it's not as bad as Captain Crunch.
It can be because it's bigger.
But we got to get on to this one. So, Grosso was... extradited to Oklahoma to be executed for the Christmas Eve murder in 1990 of an 87-year-old woman he stole a whopping $12 from. Before his lethal injection, he requested 2 dozen steamed mussels, 2 dozen steamed clams, a double cheeseburger from Burger King, 6 dozen barbecued spare ribs, 2 strawberry milkshakes, 1/2 a pumpkin pie with whipped cream and diced strawberries, and a 16-ounce can of SpaghettiOs to be served at room temperature. In one of four press releases he issued on the day before his execution, he was quoted saying, "I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this."
Even though the man wasn't right, like, why the fuck didn't y'all give him his SpaghettiOs?
Was that like a troll? Look, we're giving spaghetti, bastard.
They must have really not liked you, though, if they didn't give you your SpaghettiOs, because they're supposed to give you what you requested.
It's like, why? Ruth Snyder. What is who looks fire? Ruth was... Oh, wait, we didn't rate
well,
it.
Actually, so what do you rate it? What do you rate it? The SpaghettiOs? Or the spaghetti?
Well, the, his meal.
Okay, what he wanted?
I'm gonna give him, like, that's a five. One.
I fucking hate canned, like, stuff like that. I used to like it when I was younger, but, like, as an adult? No.
I could eat it. Ruth Snyder. Ruth was a housewife living in Queens who conspired to and successfully murdered her husband before being electrocuted in 1928. Goddamn. Ruth was served chicken parmesan with Alfredo pasta,
yeah,
ice cream, two milkshakes, and a 12-pack of grape soda for her last meal.
Dude.
She went hard.
That's something I would have got.
That's something I eat when I'm high.
She must have been stoned out of her mind.
Man, probably leave the two milkshakes out of
no, it. That's fire, dude. Like, what the fuck?
And the ice cream, like, goddamn.
Yeah. Dairy. I would have fucked that shit up. And I would have requested, like, maybe two Tums after that. Just in case I have to wait a minute, you know? Because, you know, who knows how long I'm going to be waiting after I finish eating. They might come get me in an hour. They might come get me in 5 minutes. Who knows? So, while I'm sitting there, waiting for them to, you know, come take me and bring me out to, you know, kill me. Nice. It's like I might want some Tums in my system, right? I mean, obviously they didn't have Tums back then, but, like, if they did, I would have been like, can I get some Tums? Just in case. Mind.
They're gone.
What?
Everybody, they've gone mad. They're asking me if I got Tums. Like, what are Tums?
We don't know what Tums are. What is that? An antacid? What's that?
Ted Bundy, responsible for the rape and murders of at least 30 women from 1971 to 1974. Through some estimations, put this actual victim
this count man above was 100. Really fucked up. Like, he was really sick.
Ted Bundy is perhaps one of history's most notorious serial killers.
I would say so.
Before being executed by electrocution in 1989.
Was it really electrocution?
I guess so. Wow. Bundy declined having a special meal as his last, so he was served the traditional steak dinner made up of steak, medium rare, eggs, over easy, hash browns, toast, milk, coffee, juice, butter, and jelly. And he did not eat it.
Well, it sounds like the food was not terrible. He just didn't want it.
I'm gonna rate his meal,
I'm gonna rate it a 6.
Steak dinner. Like, I would fuck that up depending on how high I am. Like, right about now, I'm like, I would probably eat half of it. So I'm gonna give you, like, a 3.
Because he was such an angry person, it would make sense why he would refuse to eat it. Have you seen the movie that they made basically about him or telling his story, and it had what's his name, Zac Efron in it? It was like a Netflix film.
Oh. I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it too, and like, just from what I got from the movie, he was just a very angry person. He just hid it very well. He was very good at hiding it and putting on an act to obviously get his victims.
Was like, they look at him differently after that one. It was like, whose idea was it to put him in that position?
But, like, for me, I the movie, yeah, I think it made me even more scared of Ted Bundy, because I was already scared of Ted Bundy, mm-hmm. even though he's not alive, but, like, he was a very scary person, and I had read his case about what he did, and, like, yeah, it, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. All of these are terrible, but, like, yeah, that one, when I was, like, reading about him and stuff, I was like, fuck, that shit's so dark. So, like, and I, so I never watched his real interviews or, like, court things or anything, because mm-hmm. I was already so scared of him, and his eyes scared me, too. Like, he seemed like a big creep. But, yeah, when I watched, the, you know, Hollywood version movie of it, you know, it showed, it's almost like it opened up how he really was. Like, it showed the world how he, like, really was behind that act. Like, he was a very angry person. I'm not really sure why he was such an angry person, because I didn't read the whole thing about his childhood or whatever the fuck, because, you know, there is information about that. But yeah, he was just angry dude.
Number 8, Bruno Richard Hauptmann, before being executed via electric chair for what was dubbed the crime of the century, when Hauptmann kidnapped and murdered the infant son, Charles Lindbergh, in 1932, he ate celery, olives, chicken, french fries, buttered peas, cherries, and a slice of cake for his last meal. I'm gonna give that one a fucking 1. You're playing.
That sounds boring.
Sounds really boring. I wouldn't even want to eat it.
Yeah, like, super boring.
Like, if they told me that was my last meal, I would have just been like, alright, well, let me just eat the cake.
Can I just replace everything else on here with cake? Like, more cake? Have, like, 6 pieces of cake on your tray. 6 pieces of cake, bro. Just give me 6 pieces of cake.
Timothy McVeigh. The American terrorist responsible for Oklahoma City bombings, McVeigh, was executed via lethal injection in 2001. And his last meal was 2 pints of mint chocolate chip ice cream. Damn. 2 pints of it. 2 pints. That's a lot.
Maybe half a pint of that. Because I do like mint chip.
It's gonna taste like you fucking brushed your teeth with chocolate. This is not gonna be good. William Bonin, or Bonin. Is Bonin or Bonin?
It's Bonin.
More commonly known as the Freeway Killer, Bonin was responsible for deaths, assaults, and torture of at least 21 young men and boys between 1979 and 1980 in Southern California. Prior to his 1996 execution, Bonin's last meal request was for 2 pepperoni and sausage pizza, 3 servings of chocolate ice cream, and 3 six-packs of Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
Wow.
John Wayne Gacy. A serial rapist and killer responsible for the deaths
of
at
least
33 teenage boys and young men between the years of 1972 and 1978 in Cook County, Illinois. John Wayne Gacy was executed in 1994 after 14 years on death row. His last meal was a dozen deep fried shrimp, a bucket of original recipe from KFC, french fries, and a pound of strawberries. I feel like it's all in the food. KFCs, that's where your people like to eat. Your people are serial killers.
Right.
Arthur Lucas and Ronald Turpin. As the final executions carried out in Canada, Arthur Lucas and Ronald Turpin were executed via hanging in 1962. Both men were served a humble last meal of steak, potatoes, vegetables, and pie.
Wow.
Well, wait, hold on. What do you rate what do you rate Gacy's last meal?
A 2. Not feeling it.
I'm like, yeah, like a 2, whatever. KFC, that's like, it's not like a top tier food, dude, so.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling that.
And then what do you feel about Lucas and Turpin, their vegetable meal with the steak?
It's like a 2.
I'll give it a 1. So Fritz Haarmann, famously known as the Butcher of Hanover, Fritz was a serial rapist and killer responsible for the deaths of at least 24 boys over the course of 1918 to 1924. Haarmann was sentenced to death by guillotine in 1925, and for his last meal, Haarmann was given a very expensive cigar to smoke in a cell while sipping a Brazilian coffee.
Wow.
I was like, I already ate.
What the fuck? Okay.
So you get a 0. I didn't think the rates would get this low. Wesley Allen Dodd, also known as Vancouver Child Killer, Dodd was a classic sexual psychopath with over 50 victims of molestation before the incident in 1989, where he began a brutal murder spree that spanned until he was executed by hanging in 1993. As he requested, Dodd's last meal was salmon and potatoes. And I think they have an actual picture of his last meal.
Ew, it looks gross.
Man, like, what is that sauce? What is that stuff on the plate?
I don't know.
Mona Fandy. After deceiving Maslin Idris, a state assemblyman for the constituency of Batu Talam, out of over half a million U.S. dollars, Maslin, along with her husband and assistant, decapitated Maslin before dismembering and partially skinning his corpse.
Goddamn!
Executed via hanging in 2001, her last meal was KFC. See?
Oh my fucking KFC, god.
So.
KFC. Wow.
I guess, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
0.
Everyone likes KFC for some reason. Not really sure why.
Like, I probably heard one of them say McDonald's, but they didn't. They got a beverage. Mm. So you would think that if they all had, well, I guess they all like pizza too. Well, not all of them, but they like pizza.
Most of
and
them.
And KFC, but KFC is like at the top tier serial killer favorite food.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Okay. So.
So is that the last one?
No. Well, this is the last one, yeah, because it's 16, right?
Yeah.
So, Margie Velma Barfield. Margie was the first woman to be executed by lethal injection in 1984 after admitting to murdering several people by arsenic, rat poisoning, and pretending to nurse them back to health.
Whoa.
During her time in prison, she became a devout Christian, and her final meal was rather unusual. A bag of cheese doodles and a 12-ounce can of Coke.
Wow.
Yep.
That sounds like something you would get at, like, a corner store.
That's why they were like, what the fuck?
What? Huh? Okay, so that wraps up our, second segment. What did you think of that, sweetie? All those meals.
I think some of them had the right idea, and others were, they wanted to be badass, but yeah.
I feel like some were trolling.
Trolling, someone wanted to fuck with it and be like,
yeah,
oh wow,
I'll get this.
At this point, you know, I just killed someone's family. Now I'm gonna
just
eat
do
a
whatever.
Cheesecake. Like, what the fuck? All right.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyways, So, for our last segment, we're going to be playing a little game called Guess the Monster. So, we'll each be taking turns describing a monster and seeing if the person can guess the name of the monster or guess the monster that we're talking about. So, I'll go first. Okay, so this monster is extremely popular in multiple places, but they don't always call it, you know, the same thing. Sometimes they call it something else. And its main origin is in the woods.
The Sasquatch.
Well, it's Bigfoot, but yes, Bigfoot. Sasquatch. You're right. So that's 1 point for you. Your turn. You can pick anyone on the list and just see if you can describe it. Obviously, try to pick one that you know what it is. Yeah. First person to get 10 points wins.
Okay. This one is short and has a knife. It, voodoo. Black magic.
A short. Leprechaun?
No.
A warlock?
In their past life, they were a serial killer.
Chucky.
Yeah.
1 point for me. Okay. This one has fangs.
Dracula.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't there be. Probably should be things that we shouldn't be able to say.
Why? Yes! You just describe it. It's not big a deal.
Like taboo.
You have 2 points, right?
Yep.
And then I have one. So it's your turn.
Okay. They're green.
Leprechaun.
Furry.
Green and furry.
Yellow eyes.
The fuck?
They have a dog named Max.
Grinch?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, this creature is long, like extremely long and large, and its origin and place of living is in water.
A whale?
A large body of water.
Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. It was like a whale?
I mean, I was like, how is that's a whale probably a monster? On here. There's probably a movie about one. It's probably on there.
Wow.
You got that one, though, pretty quickly, so that's cool. All right. It's 3-2 right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see if you can tie it up.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Uh, so this one is also green.
Why do you keep giving me green?
Because they're green.
You're giving me, like, all the hard ones.
They have one eyeball.
It's Mike... Mike... Wazowski?
Yes.
It's not... well, that is a monster. I was like, it's not a monster, but it is. It's literally a monster. Okay. This one's green. They look like a piece of weed.
Oscar?
Yes, but it says Oscar the Grouch. I should take a point away, but I'm not. So that's 4-3.
Okay.
Dude, alright. Angry.
Let's see. Okay. They said Drake looks like this person, but with hair. He wants to kill Harry Potter.
Okay.
Evil spirit entity sort of thing.
Lord Voldemort?
Yes.
At first I was going to say Professor Snape, but then I was like, in the end, he really didn't want to kill him. He, like, I think he helped him or something.
Can you imagine that shit?
Crazy. Okay, 4-4.
Tiebreaker.
I'm going to go back up. Okay, this one is very powerful. Paranormal. It also has multiple names. It's an it.
I don't know.
In Hollywood, they make it red. But in this little book, in this religion, they don't necessarily describe it as red.
Oh, the devil.
Yes, also known as Beelzebub. I'm not going to say it out loud because apparently that type of shit be bringing that shit around. And I'm like, I don't fucking need that, so. If y'all needed to figure out what that was, you know, just... write down what I spelled out. You'll figure it out.
No, don't write it down.
Well, if they can't put it together, you know? But I'm like, yeah. That's 5. I didn't even know that, like, it had another name. So I'm like, what the fuck? But yeah. That was a thinker for you. But now it's 5-4. So it's your turn.
Okay.
What's our dog doing?
Okay.
What's our little dude doing?
This one is small.
Small.
They're furry.
Furry.
They're red.
Red.
And they have an orange nose. And they have a pet goldfish.
Elmo is a monster.
Elmo is a monster. They're all little monsters on Sesame Street.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know they were monsters. Makes sense, though. Because the kids never return when they visit Sesame Street. No, I'm just kidding. But, ow. Now it's 5-5.
I'm like, I should have got those onion rings.
Sorry, sweetie.
No, you offered. I should have just got him.
Okay. This one is tall and it has no face.
Slender Man.
Good. That's 6-5.
Oh, shit.
Babe.
Okay. These guys have the long hair. Really popular back in the day. Colorful skin. You can style their hair. Long hair, colorful skin, dolls. Used to be a cartoon. Came out with a new movie.
Barbies?
No.
My Little Pony?
No. You say I look like it when I roll out of bed.
Trolls?
Yes.
Oh. Damn. Alright. 6-6. Come on. Go back to the thing.
We have 6 seconds.
No, we don't. Okay. This one's furry. And there's multiple of them, and they live together in the forest, and they have sharp teeth and claws, and they howl.
I don't know.
And they change under a full moon only.
Werewolves.
Yes. All right.
This one is it'll try to kill you or eat you, and usually the end of the world, they come out during the end of the world sort of thing.
Aliens?
No. They wanna eat you and your brain.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. We'll do this last one.
You got 1 minute.
This one, has like pins. And it lives in hell.
That's a good one.
And it likes souls. It likes to tear souls apart.
Demons?
No. It likes pins, and it has pins. It's one specific demon. It has a white, pale face, no hair. It has pins. No.
No.
Okay, then that means I have a chance. Okay, what is it? Well, don't tell me, but, like, describe it. Go.
So, they're a nemesis of Batman.
The Joker.
No. They're round.
Oh, the Penguin?
Yeah.
Oh! I win. So that wraps up today's day of 31 Days of Halloween. We hope you enjoyed, and we hope you had fun playing that game with us. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for day 17, so stay tuned for that. Stay safe out there, and have a wonderful rest of your day. And of course, happy
Halloween.
Bye. You.